This podcast is brought to you by DKP & Co. Chartered Accountants. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
It's great to have your company this Wednesday afternoon. Athos Syrianos and Ed Gooden taking you right to 1 p.m. If you've missed any of the show so far, be sure to check us out on Spotify as well as the FNR socials. We mentioned the return of NPL Queensland at the top of the show. And if you haven't seen the Gold Coast United team sheet of it yet, please do yourself a favour because there are some fantastic names on that list. They're led by Socceroo Michael Thwaite, who's been good enough to join us this Wednesday afternoon. Michael Thwaite, welcome to FNR. How are you?
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on your show. And glad to be back on the Gold Coast and in Queensland.
You guys have been back in action for a few weeks now up with NPL Queensland. How have you found the football since the restart?
Yeah, it's been good. It's been very testing. Obviously, there's been a few changes to all the squads here with a few teams, you know, looking for other players across Australia with other leagues going down. We're very fortunate to play and, yeah, very grateful to be part of Gold Coast United and building the club again, since the A-League days and just attracting, good players and good people at the club.
Well, you mentioned rebuilding Gold Coast United. Obviously, you had 3 years in the league back in 2010 to 2013. Can you maybe give us a little bit of a rundown as to what maybe the last 7 years look like for the club? So from 2013 up until now, when did the rebuild really start for you guys?
Yeah, so the club got together, well, a new board, more community-based owned rather than the previous ownership, like under Clive Palmer. They started in 2018 created a new board and a new club right through from, 8 years old to 37, which I am, both boys and girls. And, I played the 3 years in the A-League and then, unfortunately, Clive handed his license back. Probably similar to what's going on with Central Coast right now, just about the whole politics around the league and payments and TV rights and what's going on. It's probably coming to a head again, currently with the state of football here. When Gold Coast United finished in 2012, then I went and chose to take my family to Perth and then to China and then West Sydney and then, yeah, when they started up again in 2018, I had a couple of sessions with the club, on break and when I was still in the A-League for the Wanderers. And then, I could just see the potential of the club. And now we've got, over a $10 million facility at Talabudra. We're building a clubhouse there and renovating the fields and whatnot and just linking with the council and what so. And just trying to establish ourselves as a really strong NPL club and just focusing on what we can control in that sense. But, yeah, the board are really keen to push for both W League and A League in the future. There seems to be a bit of funding behind them as well, together with the Gold Coast community here.
And Michael, tell us about what in particular drew you back to the Gold Coast, because from memory, you are a New South Wales boy, so it's not like you had the go home factor, and it's obviously had impact on guys like Shane Smeltz and Jason Kalina.
I'm definitely not a New South Wales boy. I'm Queenslander through and through. So I actually grew up in Cairns, but my first professional club was with Marconi in Sydney. So that's probably where you got that from. But definitely a Queenslander through and through.
Because we know guys like Shane Smeltz and Jason Kalina are back at the club in some capacity. So what was it that drew a lot of that squad back together?
Yeah, so for me personally, I had really no choice because when I was playing those two seasons in China and at West Sydney Wanderers, my wife and two young daughters and little dog were living here in the Gold Coast. So in a nutshell, I was living two whole years away from my family. So I had to make a choice, to continue playing in the A-League away from my family and Queensland, Brisbane Roar weren't interested at the time under John Aloisi. And said he didn't really need a defender. But, so the most obvious thing was to come back to Gold Coast with my family and then settle here again. And the club gave me an opportunity with playing and a bit of coaching and mentoring with my own company. And yeah, just slowly and the coach at the time was Christian Rees and Matt Osman was the assistant coach. And now just this year, as you mentioned, Shane Smeltz has come out of retirement and playing with us. And yeah, Jason Kalina, also a former Marquee. Both his sons are in under 12s and 13s in our academy. So he's actually coaching them. So there's definitely a lot of experience, not to mention, you know, the girls coming through and the potential of the women's game as well.
Well, we've been lucky enough to have a chat with a few of the Gold Coast boys over the last few months, Michael, and they've said nothing but good things about the 3 years up on the Gold Coast. In fact, Steve Pantaliti saying it was the best 2 years of his career going up there. Maybe give us a little bit of a rundown of what the lifestyle's like up there, and how does maybe football on the Gold Coast compare to say New South Wales, Victoria?
Yeah, I think this year particularly, I think the Queensland NPL will be as strong as both the New South Wales and Victoria leagues. But I think the only thing that doesn't really transcend is the payments. I think the value of the clubs and the budgets here are far less than that of in New South Wales and particular Victoria. And a lot of players do tend to get big offers, you know, without even training, and where they'll fly you in, fly you out from Victoria. And obviously since COVID and the virus has come around, then a lot of players are opting to come back home to Queensland. But I think, yeah, the value will never be the same. You know, you might be talking maximum value of a squad might be about 200,000, whereas, you know, in Sydney, you know, you're going from, or Melbourne, you might go from, you know, 600 to $1 million budget. So, which is getting up to, you know, what we're talking about with the second division franchise. So, yeah, I guess Gold Coast itself is a real business hub. And you can see, you know, with the other codes, with the Titans and the Suns, there's no reason why we couldn't have another A-League or W-League franchise here. But yeah, there's just so much to do here, I guess. Like people, it's a very transient city. I think people are in and out and retiring and thinking about investment properties here. But the population itself is, you know, in a few years it'll be a million people, you know. So I think the population and infrastructure that's going into sport here is amazing. And, you know, we've got world-class stadiums here. So it's a big attraction for tourists and yeah, for people to invest in.
And it certainly does sound like the club as a whole is so tight-knit. We mentioned the form of the guys all coming back. How important is it to lay such a strong foundation when you have the vision of re-entering the A-League and also the W-League?
Yeah, I think it's done a lot better than when I first signed here in 2009. And you know, like I had the option of signing a 4-year deal at Melbourne Victory after coming back from Europe on loan with them, and then, you know, because an opportunity came up in Queensland, and you know, Miron was talking to me about what Clive was doing for the club, etc. Yeah, it was just an amazing idea, but the reality was that I think those teams, you know, us and North Queensland Fury were kind of fast-tracked in a political sense in terms of like the previous World Cup bid. And yeah, there was no real foundation that was set. It was kind of just plonked. And then obviously we had a fantastic couple of years, and then in the third year, you know, kind of fell to pieces because, you know, Clive saw how much money that he was putting into the club, just like the other owners. And they didn't really have a clear saying with the direction with FFA and that it's going towards now. So, yeah, and all that's kind of coming to a head now within football in Australia. But, yeah, the board are very communally minded and, you know, it's a non-for-profit club, and, you know, but all the money is being invested within the club and, you know, building the clubhouse, getting the facilities right, you know, both girls and boys right through to the NPL clubs, and a real focus on the future. Yeah, but together with the council and what they're doing in terms of future planning for a football purpose stadium, you know, esports, the whole wash. So yeah, they're thinking outside the box, that's for sure.
Well, before we let you go, Michael, let's have a quick chat about this season and the current state of the squad for Gold Coast United. Can you maybe give us a rundown of how you guys have fared so far and what you're expecting in the next couple of weeks in terms of your fixtures?
Yeah, I think short term, like, we've had some really, really good news in that we've signed James Brown, another former player, and obviously heavily involved with the Indigenous scene and something, you know, he grew up in the Kingscliff area, which is just over the border, and his family. So he's opted to come back from down south and give back to the community as well, as long as continuing his education. But yeah, short term, like, I think, you know, our budget compared to the other teams, you know, talking again within Queensland, is, you know, we find it very hard to compete, you know, with the likes of the Lions and Gold Coast Knights, who are always up there. Olympic, the same thing. But I think COVID and what's happening with sponsors and the future about the uncertainty for next year, I think it's kind of, yeah, it's kind of leveled the playing field a bit. And for us personally, we want to really invest in our youth and push the young players, you know, both girls and boys coming through to the NPL, you know, from that 18. Like, we just had a 16-year-old debut for us as a left defender. That's a local boy as well. And that's the type of feeling we want from the club, to go right through from, you know, from the pre-SAP to SAP, right through our academy, and feel comfortable in an environment where they're learning from experienced players and coaches that have played the game professionally. And also, you know, we've got a technical director that, you know, is one of the highest qualified, and ticking all those boxes as well as financially. But yeah, I think we're kind of mid-table at the moment. We've got a couple of games in hand, and we've got a series of home games coming up. So we really want to build a little bit of momentum going into our away games.
Well, Michael, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon on FNR. We not only wish you all the best for the remainder of the NPL season, but for the next few years ahead. We've heard nothing but positive news coming out of Gold Coast United, and we do really would love to see you guys back in the A-League and in the W-League as well.
Yeah, I mean, we'd all love to see a derby, and you know, we just played Brisbane Roar, the youth team, on the weekend. Unfortunately, we lost. But yeah, I remember back in the day, you know, our first game against Brisbane at Suncorp, and we had, you know, over 20,000 people. So hopefully we can get back there one day, you know, if not just for myself, but just for the younger players coming through. So yeah, my pleasure, and yeah, have a good day.